तो हरि राधे चारे सतश श्री श्रीमद वचनारविंद भक्ति वदन सांसार की जय। कोटि वैष्णव बंधु भक्त से हरदास ठाकुर की जय। तंत्राश्रम भागवतम की जय। वरादेव अपीयरेंस डे की जय। ताई गौर प्रेमानंद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एवं विलपत्नीनां वै परिक्रामृतम्पतिं अनिच्छातिनां निर्हारम् अर्कोस्तं सन्न्यवर्ततः एवं विलपत्नीनां वै परिग्रहामृतम्पतिम् अनिच्छातिनां निर्हारम् अर्कोस्तं सन्न्यवर्ततः
एवं विलपतीनां वै परिग्रहामृतम्पतिम् अनिच्छातीनां निर्हारम् अर्कोस्तं सन्न्यवर्ततः
not desiring
Nirharam
the carrying out of body.
Carrying out of body.
For the funeral ceremony.
For the funeral ceremony.
Arkaha.
Arkaha.
Dasam.
Dasam.
Astam.
Astam.
The setting positions.
The setting positions.
Sanyavartata.
Sanyavartata.
Passed away.
Passed away.
Translation. The time was appropriate for the body to be burned, but the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting for the dead body, which they kept on their laps. In the meantime, the sun completed its movements for setting in the west. In translation, the time was appropriate.
Time was appropriate
for the body to be burned.
The body to be burned.
But the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting. For the dead body.
For the dead body.
Which they kept on their laps. In the meantime. The sun completed. Its movement for setting in the west. According to the Vedic system, if a person dies during the daytime, it is customary for his funeral ceremony to be performed before the sun sets, regardless of whether he is burned or buried. And if he dies at night, the funeral must be completed before the next sunrise. Apparently, the queens continued lamenting for the dead body, the lump of matter, and would not allow it to be taken away for burning. This illustrates the strong grip of illusion among foolish persons who consider the body to be self. Women are generally considered less intelligent. Because of ignorance only, the queens thought of the dead body as their husband, and somehow or other thought that if the body were kept, their husbands would remain with them. Such a conception of self is certainly for Gokhara, cows and asses. We have actually seen that sometimes when a cow's calf has died, the milkman cheats the cow by presenting before her the dead body of her calf. Thus the cow, who would not otherwise allow milking, licks the dead body of the calf and allows herself to be milked. This substantiates the description of the Shastra that a foolish man, in the bodily concept of life, is like a cow. Not only do foolish men and women consider the body the self, but we have even seen that the dead body of a so-called yogi was kept for days by his disciples, who thought that their guru was in samadhi. When decomposition began and bad smell unfortunately began to overwhelm the yogic power, the disciples allowed the dead body of the so-called yogi to be burned. Thus the bodily concept of life is extremely strong amongst foolish persons who are compared to cows and asses. Nowadays, great scientists are trying to freeze dead bodies so that in the future these frozen bodies may again be brought to life. The incident narrated by Hiranyakashipu from history must have taken place millions of years ago, because Hiranyakashipu lived millions of years ago and was even then quoting from history. Thus the incident occurred before Hiranyakashipu's lifetime. But the same ignorance in the bodily concept of life is still prevalent. Not only among laymen, but even among scientists who think that they will be able to revive frozen corpses. Apparently, the queens did not want to deliver the dead body for burning because they were afraid of dying with the dead body of their husband. Om Jnanati Milandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurvilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhuktare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swarapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sarvidatam Sajanam Vratantam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sajanam Vita Sri Vishakantam Sa हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिनाथ तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च प्रतीतनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Namo Krishna Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Deve Govardhani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatadi Hare Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu is continuing his preaching endeavors very vigorously, trying to convince the family to be pacified by telling the story of a king who passed away and the wives are lamenting piteously on the dead body. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions many amazing, valuable points, as most of his purports are filled with so much information which common men in today's day and age will not be able to connect. That how does a milkman gets milk out of cow by presenting a dead calf in front of the cow, because for us milk comes from supermarket. So we don't know how things are working behind the scene. But I remember in my childhood, we used to go every evening to collect milk from the milkman. So he had a buffalo and he had a fake baby calf. The calf was a buffalo calf. Hay was filled inside. It looked exactly like a calf. So I think the calf died or what happened, but the skin was preserved. And the hay was filled in like a stuffed toy. And every day morning 5 a.m. and evening 6 p.m. he would bring the calf right in front of the buffalo and buffalo would give milk. We saw it every single day happening. So now if someone has not seen, Prabhupada's information helps, you know, how cows are cheated by milkmen. Because as soon as the cow sees the child, even though not reciprocating, even though the child is dead, Prabhupada is using his strong words out of foolishness. The cow gives milk, but actually her motherly love forces the milk to come out of her body. So that's how the milkman uses that particular trick to get milk out of the cow. And even if the calf is not dead, they will bring the calf in front of the cow, and after the cow sees the calf is taken away. So the proper milk is not given to the calf. I was speaking to one devotee in Mayapur. He was just explaining the whole science. What is legitimate amount of milk that must go to the cow? So if a cow has there in an udder, there are four nipples where milk will come out. So at least three of those should be dedicated for the calf, and only one for the human consumption. But I think it's the other way. Yes, exactly. I don't know the science of it, but that's what he was telling. So he was quoting some scripture also that this is the sinless way of taking milk from the cow. But now the pumps are given, suction pumps are placed, and injections are given where she's forced to just give milk out, basically her pain out, and that's what we are drinking. So you drink pain and you expect happiness, it may not happen. So Prabhupada is quoting many different amazing points in this purport, but he is hitting on a very crucial philosophical point which put in practice can relieve from great distresses, especially when a loved one is passed away. Because that's exactly what the pastime is here all about. The loved one is passed away, the husband, whom they had emotionally invested. There was a give and take of emotions. There was a give and take of physical intimacy. There was a give and take of a lot of things between these queens and the husband. And now the husband is gone. So that pain, the agony is too much to handle. And
If you see the purport itself, Prabhupada is very using very strong words, where he is saying, apparently the queens are just lamenting for dead matter, dead body, the lump of matter, and would not allow it to be taken out for burning. This illustrates the strong grip of illusion amongst foolish persons who consider the body the self. Now, when we see the scriptures speaking so strongly, many times when devotees who may not be mature in how to present scriptures, when something happens, when a similar death or a very painful situation another devotee is going through, they will just go and repeat this line as it is on their face, that how foolish are you attached to this dead body. But when we see in the example of Srila Prabhupada himself, he would never do that. He'll be very sensitive, very careful in how to deal with that situation, because the pain of the other person is not artificial. For them it's a real pain. The person, we all are in bodily conception and the degrees may vary, but the pain is real. So, but scriptures cannot do that. Scriptures have to be very clear, because they are the authoritative source. Now scriptures can't just be, can't be filtered down. Scriptures cannot speak from the point of view of trying to be nice to you, make you feel happy and good about it. They have to speak the truth. So when it comes to the Shastra, they are very direct, very, very clear. Questions at the end.
It says
questions at the end, comments at the end. Yeah, comments, everything at the end, because then it disturbs the whole flow of the class. Thank you. So now we see Hiranyakashipu, who is coming towards this story, this whole pastime. Actually, if you see Hiranyakashipu, when he is telling this story, before that he has already claimed Lord Vishnu to be the super soul as God, but who has lost his equilibrium. He's lost his main aspect of Paramatma, who is equal to all. Why? Because he has killed his brother Hiranyaksha. It's very classic, you know, when false pride is there in heart, and that too completely you're overwhelmed by false pride. The demonic mindset makes us believe that whatever we and our loved ones are doing is right. And whoever is not accepting and whoever is opposing our ways of lifestyle is actually doing wrong to us. This is exactly due to false pride. To a degree that Hiranyakashipu has even blamed the super soul, the Paramatma. And it's not just Hiranyakashipu who blames God. We also blame God when our ways are not our ways are not approved by either Supreme Lord or by authorities. Whether it is our spiritual authorities, whether it's our friends or relatives, then we exactly speak like Hiranyakashipu, that, oh, you're not fair, you don't understand my heart, this is not the way to do, you are wrong here. Because my opinion, my lifestyle, my desire, and those who I love, what are we saying? That they are wrong. So this is a very typical demoniac mindset which is seen here. And from that viewpoint, Hiranyakashipu, his mentality is completely placed in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here he is using this particular story just to pacify his family down. He's actually not trying to transform their heart for self-realization. He's just trying to pacify them so that they don't cry. If his attempt was to make them self-realized and spiritually enlivened, he would not have criticized the super soul. So even though his words may be pretty much, if you remove Hiranyakashipu and if you put any other sage's name, it will match as it is. Even though his words are very classically tuned with scriptures, because there is envy, there is hatred towards the super soul, this whole attempt will not bring a transformation in the heart from the point of view that those who are hearing him will be attached to the Supreme Lord. It will not happen. Why? Because that's not his purpose. So even in preaching, very easily those whom we are preaching to can smell our purpose when we are preaching to them. They can very quickly understand the reason behind our preaching, and that rubs on them. So when we are trying to give Krishna, at least externally, but internally there is some other agenda, it reflects on the other person very quickly, and the results are very easily seen. But whereas we see the devotees who may not be very eloquent speakers, who may not be very very shastrically learned, who may be just simple hearted devotees, but if their desire is just to give Krishna, just by giving a plate of prasadam, the super soul reciprocates, and it rubs on the other person also. And this is what we see with Ranagashu who is preaching, that will never happen. Further in the purport, Prabhupada is very famously, as he has smashed materialistic, atheistic scientists, I don't know how many times, in this purport also he does that, by quoting how when a person is dead, there are these people, there are scientists who freeze the body. It is called cryonic preservation, technically. So they preserve the body and for years, for decades, there is a person who was the first person who went through this whole procedure, cryonic procedure, James Bedford, this guy. He himself was a psychologist, and then later he passed away, and then due to cancer he died in 1967, and till that body is preserved. He left $100,000 that time for the scientists to work on him. I think in Arizona, if someone is interested, in Arizona, that's where they preserve the bodies. You'll be shocked. US alone has more than 300 people whose bodies are preserved. Russia, 50 plus people whose bodies are preserved through this process. At least 1500 to 2000 have signed up for it. There are pets whose bodies are preserved. Maybe in future, when science will develop and they'll bring back them to life, they'll come back to life. Some people have used this exact same procedure just to preserve their brains, not the body. Can you imagine how? And that's why Prabhupada, see, this is purport, maybe it must be written somewhere in 72, 73, maybe 74. Mm-hmm. And in 1967, the first person was preserved. And Prabhupada, even in few years' time, he has put that in Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Because he knew this madness will continue. It has just started. But for many years to come, people should know that this is going to happen. Amazing. How people have taken it so seriously. And they've actually taken it very seriously.
Do you think if they resurrected the frozen body, it would have the same soul in it?
They will not. Because once you leave this body, already the next body is prepared for you. So you enter the next body, the soul enters.
So okay.
The questions and discussions we can do later, otherwise we will not finish it. And this is amazing how in this purport, because many different aspects are mentioned, Srila Prabhupada even quotes a yogi whose disciples have preserved his body, thinking that maybe he is in samadhi. We have seen photos and videos of yogis' bodies being preserved in salt, kept. Maybe one comes back from samadhi, he'll re-enter the body and then he'll come back to life. Already many years have gone, nothing has happened, but they still claim that he is still in samadhi. But when the body started decomposing, they actually understood now that he is not coming back. Actually, it is possible. It is possible. It's not just that this cannot happen. We see in Hiranyakashipu's own life, when he was meditating for 36,000 years of Devata, standing on one toe, when Brahma came, he could not see Hiranyakashipu. He only saw an ant hill. And when the ants were removed, only a skeleton was seen. So from his yogic powers, he could preserve his life within that skeleton. The soul didn't leave the skeleton, basically the body. But once the soul leaves the body, then that same body you can't enter. If a particular time period is gone, one of my very distant relative, my father's auntie, she left her body. So that, like, for in the purport says, Prabhupada also says, if someone dies, then immediately go for the cremation should happen. So she passed away and they went for the cremation, and when they were keeping wood on her body, she came back to life. With maybe just a matter of few hours. And only thing she said after coming back to life is, oh, there was stool everywhere, there was stool everywhere, there was stool everywhere. Horrible, horrible. So she must have gone through the hellish roads, you know. That was very clear where she went through. And then 6 more months she lived, and then she passed away. She couldn't remember anything after that. But she came back to life within just few hours. But once the soul actually leaves the body and some time has passed, then the next body's preparation already starts. And there is a complete detail in 13 days how every single limb of the body is prepared. And as time passes, the new body is prepared and the soul enters the new body. And that's why the 13-day period of all the ceremonies, if someone passes away, is done. So, we see it's possible, but in most of the cases, no, it doesn't happen. Now, while we are living and we have a relationship in this world, hardly there are people who basically have a relationship which is based on soul. Most of the relationships are very much based on the emotions and the body, because materially what we are interested in just emotional gratification and sensual gratification, and that's what life is all about in material sense. So suppose if my father's body is there and I'm crying, oh, my father left me, a third person will come and say, no, he hasn't left you, he's right there. No, my father has left me. No, but he said, why are you crying? He's right there in front of you. Why are you crying that he has left you? So actually speaking, my father whom I am crying for, I have never even seen him. But for whom I am crying is gone. But whom I considered my father as is still in front of me, whom I don't want, because in 1 or 2 days it will smell. And I don't want that to happen in my house. So basically whole life goes away. And for person whom we feel so much pain for once they pass away, we never connected to them. And that's the irony of it. And this spiritual knowledge actually awakens us to that reality, that at least while we are trying to deal on material platform, have some relationship based on soul. And in practical sense, what does it mean to have relationship with someone on soul? Now we cannot see the soul. Neither they can see our soul. But we do understand what nourishes the soul, what is food for the soul. We do understand what is the nature of the soul, and based on that relationship can be made. And that simply means that there must be some devotional exchanges between our loved ones. And that is a connection on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, just emotional and sensual interactions will lead to a lot of pain. And that does happen, and it will happen. And the most difficult thing is we don't know when it happens. It is such a surprise. And it's like crypto market, you know, it just collapsed. people had invested all their wealth, and next day they woke up with nothing. It can happen anytime. That's how material world is. And someone passing away is also like that. Our community has gone through this very recently, and it was very painful. So, if not acted on, if the relationship does not involve some exchange devotionally, then the connection to the soul never happens. And what happens if that doesn't take place? Then once the person passes away, we will only lament, because we miss the emotional and sensual touch. We only miss these two things. And that's why we lament. But if there is a devotional exchange that has very strongly taken place, then we are very much assured that our loved one is in very rightly positioned and he's been taken care of, she's been taken care of by the Supreme Lord. So that relieves, that actually gives a lot of relief in these painful times. And that's exactly what will happen now in this matter of few verses. That these wives of this king are not able to see that because they never had that connection with the king on spiritual level. Now a guru will be required. A guru will be required who will come and who will shake and wake them up to the reality of what exactly connection on spirit is and what exactly the knowledge of the soul is. In this case, Yamaraj will come, but he will come as a child. And that's what Guru does. Guru may not appear in the very formal sense. Krishna, Paramatma, Chaitya Guru, who manifests as external Shiksha or Diksha Guru, may not appear as a formal Guru. He may appear in many other forms. So Yamaraj also came as a boy, and he will utilize the situation, he will create an atmosphere where then he can speak properly. There is another example of Angira Rishi and Narad Muni in Chitraketu's story. They were the recipient, Chitraketu Maharaj, was not ready to hear. So they waited for the best moment to come so that they can impart knowledge. Another classic example we see is of Vilvamangala Thakur, who was so much attached to this prostitute Chintamani that that Chintamani prostitute, when in the most in a time when he was most desperate to have her, his father has passed away, there is storm, the river is overflowing, and he crosses the river by using a dead body, thinking it's a log, and he climbs the window using a snake, thinking it's a rope. At that moment, this prostitute Chintamani, whom he was visiting every single day, understood, now this is the right time, I must manifest my service as a guru. Because Vilvamangala Thakur wrote later in his prayer that Chintamani, the prostitute, was actually my guru, who was waiting for the right time to come and give me that heavy message. And what does Chintamani say? When Vilvamangala Thakur enters in such a desperate condition to be with her, she says, oh, you're so desperate to be with me. If the same desperation you would have shown to meet Lord Vishnu, you would have attained success. And that was that one statement shook him so much, created a transformation in Vilvamangala Thakur's heart. And that's why later in his prayers he wrote that my guru came as Chintamani. So spiritual master may come, like Yamaraj will come as their guru, as a child. In our lives also we see spiritual master may come in many ways. But at least if we are fortunate and we have a formal spiritual master, like who is in proper form of a spiritual master as a Diksha Guru, if instructions come from him, especially in very hard times, if followed, if put in practice, and if we stick to it, amazing things can be achieved. That shloka is not just for the sake of saying mukham karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girim yat kripatam aham bande sri guru dittarinam. That a lame man can cross a mountain. Lame man can cross a mountain. A person who cannot even speak properly can become an eloquent speaker. Why? Yat kripata maham bande sri guru dina tarina, because of the mercy of the spiritual master. So very hard times can be crossed over effectively, easily, if spiritual master instructions are taken very seriously. And we'll see that's exactly what will take here, take shape here also in this story. So today we have a very special day, which I don't want to miss talking about, which is the appearance day of Vara, Lord Vara, who is the cause of this pastime to happen. This whole pastime is taking place because of Vara Dev. Lord Vara appears twice in Srimad Bhagavatam. In third canto, Maitreya Rishi talks about Varadeva, but he does not segregate both of their appearances. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Maitreya just mentions both of them together, but Jiva Goswami helps us segregate their appearances. So he comes twice. One, Varadeva's appearance comes in Swayambhu Manush time, which is Shweta Varaha, white form of Varadeva. The other Varadeva appearance comes in Chakshusha Manvantara, which is Ratta Varaha, in the red form of Varadeva. So the Shweta Varaha just takes the earth out of the ocean, puts back in the orbit, but Ratta Varaha, who comes in Chakshusha Manvantara, he actually takes the earth out and he kills Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha also. So when that Chakshusha Manvantara, when Ratta Varaha comes and he kills Hiranyaksha, and that's an amazing pastime we'll shortly discuss in this brief. When he kills, that's where Hiranyakashipu gets very enriched. And that's where we have this amazing 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam in 7th canto, where Narasimhadeva has to appear, Prahlad will come, amazing prayers of Prahlad will happen. This whole pastime of Hiranyakashipu is taking place. Maitreya Rishi explains the full story of Jaya Vijay, what happened to Diti, how she was so much afflicted by lust that she forced Kashyapa Muni that she wants child. So there's a big detail. I think many speakers have spoken about it in past also, we'll not get into that. But when Brahmaji was very much concerned, seeing the earth completely submerged in the ocean, while he was just thinking how to do, what to do about it, from his nostril, Varadeva appeared. Everyone was very surprised. Is this a demon? Is this a devata? Is this some powerful being? Who is he? And later they figure out, oh, this is Lord Vishnu himself who has come to solve the anxiety which Brahma and all the demigods had. Because in Shweta Varaha's time, Swayambhu Manu is just asking Brahma that, okay, now I'm married on your request. Now, I need a planet to rule, and Earth is that planet where I'll go and rule, and inhabitants will also take birth there. But Earth is submerged. So now what to do about it? And that's exactly when Varaha appears from the nostril of Brahma. So in this particular pastime where Lord Varaha appears, Earth is already submerged. And when Lord Varaha goes to take out the Earth from the ocean, Garbhodak ocean, now this is not just normal ocean, this is Garbhodak ocean, in which Garbhodak Sai Vishnu is there. If you know the detail, this ocean is practically has filled half of the universe. It's that huge ocean, it's not Atlantic or Pacific type of ocean. It's beyond what we have tracked so far through satellites. So, simultaneously something else was happening. This Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyaksha, both were blessed by Brahmaji with great powers. To a degree, they were near immortality, almost. Now, Hiranyakashipu is the elder brother. He had already conquered the three worlds. Hiranyaksha, his younger brother, who wanted to please his brother, he went to show his prowess. Now, we see a very similar style shown by Ravana also. So whenever these demons have power, it's not that they are happy with power, they want to show it off. It's exactly like someone buying a Lamborghini. He'll not keep in the garage. They have to move around the city and they have to show it off, put all the photos around. Whenever you have something which normal people don't have, how do you enjoy it? By showing off. There's no other way, you have to show it off. So you can't be satisfied just having it. Because what is the fun of just having it? There are many famous people, especially in social media, they brag about their 20 cars, 30 cars, in so many videos, so many times, just to show what they have. So Hiranyaksha, that's how false pride is all about. Hiranyaksha also went around to show his prowess. While traveling, he went to Indraloka and he saw Indra is not there. Indra was hiding out of fear. So he started roaring and shouting because he wanted to fight. Ravana wanted to fight. He went and lifted Kailash. Because you have power, you want to express it, you want to show it. So then Hiranyaksha went to Varuna's planet, Varuna's abode. And he started mocking Varundev. He went and fell at the feet of Varundev in a sarcastic way to tease him that, oh my lord, please fight with me. And Varundev was so upset with his behavior. But Varundev was intelligent. He understood there is no way I can defeat Hiranyaksha. So he changed his tone and he said, I am old now. I can't fight with you. But yes, there is someone who is capable of fighting with you. Varaha is there. You go and fight with him. But then he told him also, then we will see how you will lay dead. Yeah? When you go and fight with Varaha. So then Hiranyaksha, in full anger, went, and when he saw an ocean, he just wanted to sport a bit. He went and jumped into the ocean to just go for a swim. And what he saw there was Varaha taking the earth out of the ocean. So these two things were simultaneously happening there. So they met together at that time. So now what Hiranyaksha did is that he started using very bad words to insult Varadev. Prabhupada writes amazing, amazing purport to that one of the verses in that chapter 13, third canto. When Hiranyaksha is using abusive language to Varadev, Prabhupada, because then Varadev gets very angry when Hiranyaksha is abusing him. But seeing Mother Earth very scared and frightened, Varadev did not even speak to him much. He didn't even retaliate, didn't speak. First he wanted to secure Earth. So he went on the shore with his own spiritual power. He gave the potency to the Earth to float and then came back. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that God is a sentient being. He did feel bad when abusive words were used against him. And then Prabhupada explains, like if someone is worshipping God, he becomes pleased. Similarly, if someone is decrying him, if someone is insulting him, he feels bad also, because he is a person. Now the difference is that we take it on ego. The Supreme Lord doesn't take on ego, but he as a supreme person will naturally feel, because he has emotions. Now this is very difficult for Mayavadis to understand. Those for whom the Lord is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-great being, how can he feel bad if someone insults? And Prabhupada writes in the purport that when impersonalists or Mayavadis, they say Lord doesn't have a form, he actually feels bad. That I have a form, but you are denying my form, my existence. So he feels bad. And he's comparing exactly to Hiranyaksha's abusive language. So then Varaha, they told Hiranyaksha, oh, because he's in the form of a boar, a wild boar. He said, oh, I'm a wild boar. Actually, I was also looking for a hunting dove and I found you. So now, I'll kill you. And both have their maces and the fight begins. And they're hitting their maces to each other, and there is actually more than a chapter just on how they fought. And the demigods' hearts are sinking when Varadev's mace fell down. And Brahma is praying, please don't delay. Kill him. Why are you delaying this fight? The night time is coming. These demoniac people, they gain more strength in the night times. Please kill him. And this whole pastime is taking place, and Varadev didn't listen immediately to Brahma. After that also, Hiranyakashipu is hitting Varadev and he's injured. He's bleeding. Hiranyaksha is bleeding. And then Hiranyaksha comes and with his leg, he tries to hit the Lord. And I think Varadeva decided that's it. The match should be over now. So right here, at the root of the ear, Varadeva gives him a big whack, and Hiranyaksha starts to stumble, vomit, and he collapses, and he dies. So all the devatas came close to see dead. Okay, he sees dead, and then flowers, a shower, and all the prayers and the glories to Varadhi happened at that time. So that news went across, and of course, when Hiranyakashipu heard that, that enraged him so much, and that where all these pastimes are coming. In the purport when Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about cows and asses, there is a very famous shloka that comes in Srila Bhagavatam. Yasyatma buddhi kunupetri dhaduki adhik kalitradishu bhavama yajjadi yattirka buddhis kalilena sarhikarhisi salilena karhisi janeshu abhikyesu sa eva gokha. In the purport, if you see, Prabhupada has used many times cows and asses. It comes from this verse specifically, Gokhara. Now, who are considered cows and asses? Who identify his self, oneself, as the inert body? Who am I?
This body.
This body. And all the designations connected to this body. Who assumes his wife, children and family as permanently his own. And then the country, the place of birth is considered worshipable. And who sees this a place of pilgrimage as just place of going and taking bath. And nothing more than that. And who never identifies, worships or even visits those who are knowledgeable in spiritual path. They are considered gokhara, cows and asses, not very intelligent. In that particular purport, which is very much connected to us, Prabhupada makes a amazing statement. He quotes a verse from Brihaspati Samhita, first of all, which says, men who do not know the principles of devotional service to the Supreme Lord should be known as cows and asses. अज्ञात भगवत धर्म मंत्र विज्ञान संविद जो भगवत धर्म अज्ञात वन हु इज हु डजंट अज्ञात मींस हु डजंट नो भगवत धर्म द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस नरस्ते गोखरज्ञा दैट पर्सन दैट ह्यूमन शुड बी कंसीडर्ड गोखर कावर एसेस इवन इफ दे आर एक्सपर्ट इन व्हाट टेक्निकली एनालाइजिंग ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स दे स्टिल कंसीडर्ड गोखर व्हाई For very simple reason, they do not know the principles of devotional service. After that, Srila Prabhupada makes a very clear statement, which is very soothing for us. He divides devotees into two categories. One is that particular devotee, which most of us are in that category, if not all, at least most of us. That cat devotee who is imperfect Vaishnava. Now, this particular devotee has not perfected devotional service. This particular devotee has not realized his relationship with Krishna. So now Prabhupada says, I'll read exactly what he says because every single word is very well found here. An imperfect Vaishnava advancing towards the second class platform identifies himself with the sages who have established the true spiritual path, even while he still may have some inferior material attachments to body, family and so on. So this is us, imperfect Vaishnavas, who understand that we need help of Guru, Sadhu and scriptures. But we still have material attachments to family, to our own bodies, to our loved ones. Such a devotee of Lord is not as foolish as cow or a stubborn ass like the majority of materialists. Why? Because in time, even one is very much aggrieved with the loss of a loved one. With time, because he is connected to higher authorities, superior knowledge, following the instructions of the spiritual master, that person will be able to overcome. But those who are completely materialists, who does not have this facility, or who do not put themselves in this situation where they can avail this superior spiritual knowledge, for them, gokhara. straight Gokara, cow of the rasas. But the most excellent is the Vaishnava, who has gained the special mercy of the Lord and broken free from the bondage of illusory attachments altogether. So that's the second category of a devotee. First is majority of us who are imperfect Vaishnavas, and the second one is perfect Vaishnava, who by the mercy of the Lord is free from the bondage, which is of illusionary energies, all attachments altogether, completely. So we are praying, we hope and pray to Lord Varadev that how he went into the core of the ocean and took the earth out, maybe these attachments can be uprooted, because the cause of our suffering in this material world is this attachment. Not just to our loved ones, but to our minds, all projections, all the impressions from many, many lifetimes, and the way the mind projects the sources of happiness, that is very distressing. Because in material world, all these sources of happiness, when put in practice, they lead nothing but to distress. So if Lord Vara can uproot on today's day, that's our humble prayer to Lord Vara, that our heart is also dirty. He enters as a wild boar. If that can be uprooted, our spiritual practices, our spiritual realization will nourish, will flourish, and will be actually happy. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any comments or questions, we can discuss now. Yes, go.
In the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, I think it's 13, 8 to 12, so it gives a list of the process of knowledge.
Oh yeah, 8 to 12.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then one of the items was to be detached from the wife and the rest.
Mm.
And regarding that, in the purport, Prabhupada says that the family, the kids, the natural objects of affection. But you were talking about being attached. So what's the difference between affection and attachment? And how do you know if you're going over the line?
So, as our loved ones, especially the family, the children, are natural objects of our affection, and saying that I'm not attached to my family or children is going to be a very artificial statement. That means there is something wrong with you. If someone even claims that, there is some problem with you. Just to show how spiritually one is advanced, someone says, oh, I have no affection for my family. That is a very exaggerated statement. So now, what is attachment and difference between affection and attachment is, if understood and if lived in a way that the Supreme Lord is very much a center of one's relationship. And when we say practically, as I was mentioning before, there must be devotional exchanges between the family members. If these devotional exchanges does not take place, and it should continue to grow, not just once in a while, but it should continue to grow, then what happens is that that same affection which naturally can, which actually does causes bondage, becomes the cause of our own misery. But if devotional principles are very much in place, and this philosophical understanding is also there, that we as a family member have come together, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in one of his bhajan, he writes that Krishna, this is your family, and I am like a dog who's taking care of this family. So that's a vision. It's an amazing vision a person can have, a very powerful spiritual vision a person can have towards one family. That Krishna, this is your family, I am a caretaker, like a dog sitting out of in front of the house, taking care of the house. Now, to say, to have that vision straight away is not easy. But to try and develop that vision is our goal. Especially those who are the ashram. This is an amazing goal to look up to, that I see my family members as Krishna's property. And then that affection is very much Krishnaized. That affection itself is very much based on I am duty bound on behalf of the Supreme Lord to take care of my family members. But again, it is so difficult, honestly speaking, even the Brahmacharya Buddha, I'm still saying it's so difficult to really put that in complete practice, that pain will still be there if a loss happens. But that's when the spiritual master's interference, this spiritual knowledge, devotional practices, our own personal growth and our connection with Krishna is the savior. And we don't know when that will happen. When death strikes, we don't know. But this preparation is very helpful, actually, in that course. So that the attachment does not become the cause of our suffering. We have invested a lot emotionally in many places. In money, in family, in relatives, in position, name, fame, power. So a devotee who is very intelligent, what he does in the due course of life, while progressing, and that's exactly what Varnashram system is all about. And while you're progressing through life, when time comes, one should start taking the investments back, wherever you have invested. Why? Because you're preparing for next journey. So, faster we take our investments back from all places, the emotional investments we have done, easier it is to transit. So, when these investments are taken back in time, we happily transit. And we let others also happily transit. But if they are not taken back on time, then the separation is very much like the queen's. You don't even let the body go. That same body will smell in just a matter of hours, but you don't let it go. Just thinking, what if it comes back? What if some magic happens? Something happens. So that's where I feel it's very important. Is it okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. You were mentioning how when we follow the instruction of our spiritual master in pain or in loss, then it would be less. But I was thinking, we hear in lectures that in our initiation, when we get initiated from our spiritual master, our sins and our karma is destroyed. So then, why do devotees go through so much pain and suffering even after the initiation?
Very valid question. Alcott Isolnes Kadampana Maharaj, he mentions that when initiation happens, your boat which is stagnant in the river, the spiritual master's job is to give a big kick to the boat. So it takes momentum. But how much can a big push last if you don't row yourself? So the help of the spiritual master is just to kickstart, or basically make it easier for us to make spiritual progress by reducing some of our sinful reactions. It's not that everything is taken away, because if everything is taken away, we'll evaporate. The reason we exist in this body is because we have reactions still existing. If no reaction, we'll disappear. So reactions are there, but he reduces the main, a lot of burden, and gives a push to our spiritual life, and then we can easily grow. If you have stopped and then you have to move, the fuel consumption even in a vehicle is more than a moving vehicle, right? So the spiritual master's job is to keep us moving. And whenever again in life our boat slows down, we say, Guru Maharaj, I'm struggling. And again he gives instructions and big push. When instructions put in place, a big push. And then again after some years we say, he did write email to our spiritual master, struggling to chant. So then again some instructions will come. So that's what spiritual master keeps encouraging us till we come to a stage we become self-reliant spiritual practitioners. So that's the service of the spiritual master, which they selflessly do. Now spiritual master, when we are in condition of suffering, his instructions will be soothing and cutting simultaneously. He'll be very sensitive to our realities, but they will not be overwhelmed by our realities. Even if someone has passed away, it's not that they will get so morose and so caught up that they have struggled to even practice Krishna life. No. They will be very sensitive and careful to our needs, but simultaneously they'll keep waking us up to the reality. And that's their service. That's their selfless job. And that's why they are considered or treated as good as God. Because they are doing it on behalf of Krishna. Hello?
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
In the last paragraph, Prabhupada mentioned that these gods or attacks are not allowing the body to burn. But the Prabhupada also mentioned that they are afraid. So can you explain this to the attacks?
I searched for it. Vishnu Acharya Thakur doesn't say that. So I thought maybe it's coming from him. But maybe I think either it's Prabhupada's own realization or some Acharya is quoting that they don't let the body go because they are scared. Now they have to enter the fire also because of the sati pratha. That a wife goes with the husband to Sahamaranam, which was mentioned in the previous verse. Because I didn't find much on it, so I just...
No, because what I ask is, when you attach to, you want to go in fire, but same time they are attached to stopping him, but they don't want to go also.
That's what Prabhupada is saying. Apparently it appears that they are scared of death themselves. Because we don't see this happening in the life of Pandu.
Yeah.
When he died, Madhuri and Kunti's discussion was who will go.
Yeah.
Not to stop Pandu from getting cremated, but the discussion itself was who will go. And there was an argument who will go. What an attachment must be, just think about it actually. What an amazing attachment it must be that the wife wants to burn alive.
Yeah.
Sit in the fire. Amazing, actually. I don't know. It's very hard to comprehend. You know, when a finger burns in the kitchen, we know what happens. You want to sit alive. The pain of burning alive must be so less in comparison to that separation, is the point.
Yeah.
I don't know how they would do it, but. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
When you said that the attachment and affection, that is because when you work for a company, right? When you work for a company also, you are working just like that, but you are working at home with children, family, everyone, you are working. So how much attachment, how much affection you are working. When you work for a company also, you are working the same way, that you don't think of when you are working for a company, you are not back home just to finish the work. You work with full affection, you want to do the work. Same thing when you are doing at home also, you are doing for the husband, children, everyone, you are doing the so hard, do the same work. When you do that, and when anything happens, like if you have to leave the job, or if you have someone has to leave the body also, it's the same thing. I think that puts detachment with affection. Because when they leave, also you think they have gone to the right place. We are in pain because then we are selfish, because we are thinking we lost that, my handsome son, or very caring son, or something. We are thinking ours. If we think if Krishna has done the best for him, the pain will be also less. I think the pain is really at a different level.
Yeah, I got your point, but the comparison is very wrong. Losing a son and losing his job, or losing a family member and losing his job is not the same. People don't go into depression and they lose a job. People don't cry for 15, 20 days or for years and they lose a job. So the comparison itself, I'm just saying, your point you were making is right. When Krishna is in the center, then it's easy to let go. But the examples are not correct. That's my point.
It's a consciousness.
But the point is, you can't compare it with a job. Like, how many people are so much attached to a company that when the company, even if the company kicks them out, they're attached to money. They find another way of livelihood. But to compare that with family members, I feel it's a either it's an insult or it's too much of an understatement, you know, that oh, they are saying.
But
the point is correct.
My point is when you're working for a company also, do not think about the money comes along. You work 100%
money. Money.
I don't know anybody who works for a company without thinking of money. Nobody.
Money is first.
Unless you're working as a volunteer somewhere.
I was working.
Yeah. So if salary doesn't come, you still continue to work?
Because don't think about the salary come along. Same thing when you work for Krishna or when you work for family, you don't think about the fruits, but it comes along.
Yeah.
When you put Krishna in the center.
Yeah, this requires further discussion. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Karantrashya Bhagavatam ki jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
You understand?